Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening in other devices and later are recording, Sabbath blessing, everyone. Before we begin to hear our pre-recorded sermon, we would like to ask any one of the dear brethren that would like to open this section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this Sabbath day that you lovingly made for man so that we can fellowship together and receive the wonderful blessings of God. Send the Holy Spirit to open up our eyes and ears to receive the message and to spread it to everyone we know that Jesus loves them and has a place waiting for them in heaven when it's time. Thank you, dear Lord, for our wonderful family. Bless each one as we study your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. It is lovely to hear your voice. Okay, dear ones, so we're going to...
Welcome to our main church service on this 28th day of January 2023. Glad to be in fellowship with you. And welcome also to those that are joining us on the phone or those that are listening to the recording of today's service. And glad to have you all in fellowship. What a wonderful Godhead that we have. And praise their names for setting us free by the truth and also their great love. Our opening song for our service today is titled Ancient Words. Scripture words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let these ancient words impart. Scripture words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let these ancient words impart.
Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world where'er we roam, Bible words will guide us home. Scripture words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let these ancient words impart. All we words, all our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, hear the faithful words of Christ. Scripture words ever true,
changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let this ancient word seem part.
Amen. And may God's Spirit indeed open your understanding to where you can see the words of Scripture in a new way. A way that will indeed reach the heart. Well, please join with me in opening prayer. Loving Father in heaven, thank you so very much for thy great love, blessings, watchful care, guidance. We pray that the atmosphere of light and truth and joy and contentment that surrounds you and your throne will be brought down to each listening heart at this time. Let the peace of Jesus fill our hearts. Let the Spirit increase our understanding that we might see wondrous things out of the Word of Truth today. We thank you, Father and Savior and Spirit, for being in our midst, for gracing our gathering, and may we receive the richest blessing possible as we dig into thy word of truth. Dear Spirit, we pray that all custom and tradition, all preconceived ideas and opinions, all distractions will be set aside, that there will be no hindrances to understanding the truth or to seeing the straight, narrow, upward path that leads to Jesus and eternal life in him. We also pray for memories that are retentive, that will hold on to the lessons and the insights that we've gained, that we may be able to study these at a later date and come to understand them and receive them more fully. And thank you for bringing these back to our memory, our attention, and continuing to open our eyes to learn more. Thank you for your patience and long suffering with us and for working with us. Dear Savior, I pray as the great physician that you are that you'll be with those that need your healing grace, whether physically or spiritually or mentally. And thank you for being their deliverer. Pray that you will continue to spread thy truth around the world, that many more souls that are in darkness will come to the light as it is in Christ and be set free in him and escape from the darkness and destruction of Babylon. And thank you that we're a day closer to heaven and seeing our Savior come to take us home, never to part again. So we thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, Sabbath blessings, dear ones. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes I'll be referring to in this sermon, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1171.htm. So again, lightministries.com/1171.htm. And if you look at our opening text, quote number one, In Matthew 19:17, it states, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And so this is the title of our sermon, Entering into Life, and this is part two. So our opening text reveals that if we would have life, and we learned it's both temporal life and eternal life, then we must keep the commandments of God. And last time we understood that God considered his law to be of such importance that he did not allow any human being to tell what his law was to others, but God personally spoke each one of these Ten Commandments with his own voice in the hearing of all the people. And then he wrote these same commandments with his own finger onto two tables of stone. So this meant that these Ten Commandments came directly from God. They did not come from man. And so this proves that this law of God was not the product of the mind of men, but was from God himself. And since God wrote them down with his own finger in stone instead of on cloth or paper, this also shows us that God considered his law to be permanent and unchanging. And these commandments were his covenant. It was his agreement with the people that he would be their God and they would be his chosen people if they would keep and perform all 10 of these commandments. We also learned last time that the God who spoke this law in the hearing of all the Israelites was the mighty Lord God Michael, who was the Word, the Great Prince, the Great I Am. And Michael became Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, the way, the truth, and the life when he was born into humanity. Last time we were also able to examine the first and the second commandments, and we discovered that these two commandments were very simply stated, was easy for all to understand. And yet connected with these commandments were principles that were very broad and far-reaching into all aspects of daily life. Now today we'll continue examining into the remaining 8 commandments and see how we can enter into life. And if you look at quote number 2, the third commandment of God is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So this third commandment revealed how God wanted his people to communicate to him or about him, declaring that the people were not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and any who did would not be held guiltless. They would have committed sin. So this means that we're not to use God's name in a light or a frivolous manner in our communications with one another or with our church family or with God himself. But when we're speaking to or writing about God, then we're to respect and honor his name. Now, since the mighty Lord God had never revealed his real name of Michael to any of his people at this time, but instead always gave them a general name that described him, the Lord God, merciful and gracious and so on, then this commandment has to mean something more than just not taking God's literal name in vain, because they didn't know his literal name at the time. So this commandment has to be something more. And when you look up the Hebrew word for name, not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Hebrew word for name in this commandment is Shem, S-H-E-M. That's Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, Hebrew word number 8034. And this word translates and means a mark or memorial of individuality, character. So this means that the name that God didn't want his people to take in vain was his character, which is a mark or memorial of his individuality from all other so-called gods. So then, as this is true, that God's name represents his character, then how could people take his name or character in vain? The Hebrew word for take is naka, N-A-C-A-H. That's Strong's word number 5375. And this word translates and means to lift, accept, advance, bear, carry, hold up, respect, and wear. Interesting. And the Hebrew name for vain is shav, S-H-A-V. That's Strong's word number 7723. And this word translates and means deceptive, false, lying. So instead of this third commandment only forbidding the irreverent usage of God's name, it more importantly forbids his people from being deceptive or false or lying about God's character. Now, God had separated his people from all of the pagan nations around them, from Egypt itself, and had brought them into a special covenant relationship with him. They were no longer to worship any pagan gods. They were to no longer abide by pagan laws, by pagan practices, by pagan rules, by pagan rituals, etc. But now they were to worship only the mighty Lord God and were only to abide by his laws. And in doing this, then they would no longer develop characters resembling what was depicted of the pagan gods, but they would instead develop characters that were resembling the living God. And it was this character of the living God that the people were to then take and accept and wear in their own lives. And by doing this, they would then reveal to others that they had respect for God's name, because their very lives were to advance, to bury, to care, to hold, and lift up a correct representation of God's true holy character. But if their character was different than the true character of the living God, then their lives would work instead to lift up or manifest a false representation of the true character of God to others. And so by giving a false representation of God's true character, they would be guilty of lying to and deceiving others, and thus guilty of taking the name of the Lord God in vain. So this third commandment forbids God's people from believing that they could live like pagans while still claiming to be followers of God. It showed that profession alone, without the corresponding works and actions, was absolutely worthless. If the lives of God's followers were not in harmony with God's name, with his character, then they showed by their own lives that they were not followers of God at all, but were deceivers and liars. So this commandment brings out that it's by the lives, the actions, and the characters revealed to others that precisely communicates to them which God or gods were being followed by you. So very simply stated, do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain or you're guilty. But yet very broad as to affect every aspect of our daily lives. So that's the third commandment, quote number two. Now we come to the fourth commandment. This is quote number three. And the fourth commandment reads, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And that's Exodus 20 verses 8 through 11. This fourth commandment reveals how God wanted his people to spend their time during each day of the week. The Lord God Michael plainly told them that 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Now, God also revealed that this Sabbath commandment was not something newly created just for the Israelites, but had been first established at creation, stating that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. So in this very commandment, God brought forth that it was not just for the Israelites, because there were no Israelites when the world was created, but the Sabbath was given to mankind on the seventh day of the week, just after man was created on the sixth day. So the first 6 days of the week are nothing more than days in which you can work, that you can do whatever you want to do. You can spend them in earning a living. You can spend them in doing anything else that you want to get done during those 6 days, just like God spent the first 6 days in creation, but then he rested from his creationary work on the seventh. So we spend the first 6 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, etc., all the way through Friday doing whatever we want to do. But the Sabbath, the seventh day, God claims as his day, not ours. So the seventh day of the week is different than the other 6 days. The Sabbath is not a common work day like all the rest. The Sabbath is specially set aside to be a day of rest and worship of God because the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it after he had labored the first 6 days. And just so no one would forget this fact of truth established at creation, that Michael began this fourth commandment by plainly stating and even warning in the word, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So it was established prior to this commandment being given in the hearing of the Israelites. So this Sabbath day of God was a special day which Michael chose as his holy day for all of his people to worship him on. Now, if you look at quote number 4, in Isaiah 58, verses 13 to 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now, from ancient times, the pagan worshipers had kept the day of the sun, or Sunday, holy as a special worship day to their deity. Whether that was Marduk, who was the supreme god of Babylon, or Amun-Ra, which was the supreme god of Egypt, or Baal, who was the supreme god of the Canaanites, or Zeus, who was the supreme god of the Greeks, and you can go on through all the other ancient cultures. But the day which the Lord God chose to be his Sabbath, his worship day, was not Sunday, the first day of the week, but was the seventh day of the week, which we know to be Saturday today. And this was not an afterthought, but God had established his Sabbath day at creation, which was before sin had entered in, and way before any of the pagan religions had been developed. So the Sabbath wasn't an afterthought, it was established before sin. And it was those that chose to rebel against God and refused to keep his Sabbath law who had chosen to worship on a different day of the week. And they chose Sunday in honor of their supreme sun god to be their worship day. So then this reveals to us that Sunday, the first day of the week, had no connection whatsoever with the Lord God of heaven, but was connected with honoring and worshiping the pagan gods who ultimately represented Lucifer himself. I mean, this is history. So as this is true, then this Sabbath day of the Lord God was a special day between him and his people. And this day actually distinguished God's followers from all pagan worshipers. They worshiped on Sunday. God's followers worshiped on Saturday. So the very day of the week in which you worshiped determined whether you were following the God of the Bible or the pagan gods of the ancient cultures. So then the Sabbath was actually a sign. It was a mark between God and his people, showing those that keep it holy to be a worshiper of the Lord God, and also showing God to be the God and protector of those who keep his Sabbath day holy. And if you look at quote number 5, we're told this very thing in Exodus 31, verse 13. Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. And in Ezekiel 20, verses 12 and 20. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them, and hallow or keep holy my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. So the Sabbath day itself was a distinguishing sign. It was a mark between God and his people, while Sunday was itself the day which was a distinguishing sign or mark between Lucifer and his pagan followers. So the very day of worship at that time indicated exactly which people were serving the Lord God and which people were not. And it's the same today. So as the seventh day of the week today is Saturday, then any who are not keeping the Sabbath day of God as a holy worship day to Him are plainly revealing that they are really not serving the Lord God of heaven who they may claim to be worshiping, but are actually serving another God depending on the day of the week they choose to keep holy. So by the day we keep as a holy day of worship, just like anciently, reveals which God or gods we are really worshiping and whose followers we really are. So that's the fourth commandment. The fifth commandment, if you look at quote number 6, is found in Exodus 20 verse 12. And this fifth commandment reads, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." This fifth commandment revealed how God wanted his people to respect and uphold authority by honoring thy father and thy mother. And in doing this, God would bless them so that they could live a long time in the promised land. Now notice that God did not say to only honor your parents if they worship the same God you did, or to only honor your parents if they treated you properly while you were growing up, or to only honor your parents if they raised you without making any big mistakes or blunders. The Hebrew word that God used for honor is kabed, K-A-B-E-D, and this word translates and means to be heavy in a bad sense, such as burdensome, severe, dull, or in a good sense, such as numerous, rich, honorable. It also means to be chargeable, and this is Strong's word number 3513. So this commandment to honor your parents was not to be taken lightly, but it was a very heavy or weighty responsibility. All offspring were chargeable to honor, respect, and care for their parents, irregardless of whether their parents were rich and had the ability to care for themselves, or were poor and had become burdensome in their old age. Children were chargeable to care for their parents, whether they had been loving and numerous with their kindnesses, or had been very dull and unloving. Children were chargeable to care for their parents, whether they had indeed been honorable by properly and unselfishly raising their children, or had been too severe, demanding, and selfish. And by keeping this commandment and honoring, obeying, and respecting their parents and their parents' authority, the offspring were also learning how to honor, obey, and respect God Himself and His authority. Because God had manifested such a fatherly care over them all that He could be called their father. So in learning how to respect and honor your parents, you are also learning how to respect and honor God. So in following this commandment, children would not only obtain the blessings from God, which would allow them to live long in the promised land on the earth, but we're also learning how they would be able to live forever in the promised heavenly Canaan. But not only were children learning how to honor, obey, and respect their parents and God's authority, but they were also learning how to honor, obey, and respect others in positions of authority over them, whether these were religious or civil and governmental leaders, and irregardless of whether or not they felt that these leaders deserved their respect. So this commandment actually was working to promote harmony and contentment, and it was discouraging and eliminating disorder and rebellion. This commandment would bring peace and order within the family, within the religious and the civil or governmental communities, and between the people and their God, while preventing unrest and chaos. By honoring, respecting, and obeying parents, religious leaders, and civil or governmental leaders has limitations. And these limitations is in one and only one area. The only time that the authority of our parents, religious leaders, or civil and governmental leaders falls outside of this fifth commandment's jurisdiction is when their authority and commands directly disagree with the authority and commands of God. If you look at quote number 7, when either our parents or religious leaders, or our civil or governmental leaders urge or command us to do something that God commands us not to do, or not to do something that God commands us to do, then, as the Bible says in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men in that issue. So while we're still to respect our parents, we're still to respect our leaders, whether in church or governmental authority, yet when their laws or commands conflict with God's laws and commands, then we are to instead obey God first and foremost, as he is the greatest authority of them all. And whatever consequences we have to suffer, were to remain polite but firm in disobeying the commandments of men so that we can remain faithful in keeping the commandments of God. And we can safely trust God to help us bear and carry us through any consequences that comes from us disobeying men so that we could obey God. God's promise is, them that honor me, obeying God first and foremost, he will honor. And that's 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. The fifth commandment is very easily stated, but again, it has very broad and far-reaching principles. So that's the fifth commandment. The sixth commandment, if you look at quote number 8, is found in Exodus 20, verse 13. And the sixth commandment reads, thou shalt not kill. The sixth commandment revealed how God wanted his people to respect and uphold life, declaring that they were not to kill any other person. But this commandment does not forbid all taking of life, because if that was the case, then God himself would be guilty of breaking his own law because of all the people that were killed in the flood, or of all the people that were killed in Egypt because of the plagues that God brought. So then this thou shalt not kill has to be viewed differently than meaning in all cases. And when you look up the Hebrew word for kill that's used in this verse, it's ratsach, R-A-T-S-A-C-H, ratsach. And this word translates and means to murder. That's Strong's word number 7523. And murder means the unlawful and malicious or premeditated killing of one human being by another. And that's just the dictionary definition of murder. So this commandment, thou shalt not kill, does not apply to animals or insects or pests. It applies to killing human beings, to murdering them. So this commandment does not forbid all killing of human beings, but it forbids all unlawful or unjustified killing or murdering of others. So that's the sixth commandment. And next time, we'll continue examining into these 10 divine commandments of the Lord God, the remaining four, and we'll see more of how we can enter into life. And praise God for giving us His law. And then the grace and the strength to keep it. So we'll find out more next time, dear ones. And our closing song is The Bible Stands. The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
By truth the Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and to prove and to make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's words remain standing, remain true. May we stand on that solid rock of truth, Christ Jesus. May we make his word our own. May we represent his character in our own life and live by a thus saith the Lord. Not a thus saith the church, not a thus saith the state, not a thus saith man, but an it is written. Please join with me in closing prayer. Father, thank you for loving us before we were even born. Thank you, dear Savior, for carrying out the plan of salvation that we may know of the love of our Father for us and may in turn allow his love to live in us and truly love him supreme. Thank you so very much for giving us thy word, for giving us thy law, for allowing us to see areas that we would be displeasing you if we followed, and for knowing which areas will bring you pleasure and joy, and choose then to keep your law that we might reveal our love and appreciation for you. Thank you for setting us free by these truths. Thank you for writing them down that we may have them as our own and not have to trust what people tell us, but can read it for ourselves. Thank you also for the grace that comes to us when we choose to obey you. And please help us always to choose to obey you. This will be difficult, but not impossible, because all things are possible to overcome through you. And thank you for being so faithful, for being so helpful, and for encouraging us to come up a little higher each day, to be more godlike each day, to reveal your character more each day. Until soon, heaven will be ours, all because you've made it possible. I pray that you will continue to let this great plan of salvation be more fully revealed to the people of this world. May the glory of our God be much more uplifted and exalted to dispel the darkness that's in this world and to show each member of humanity a better way of life, one in which the wages of righteousness is life, completely different than the wages of sin is death. There's no life there. But there is in Jesus. I pray that you will help each one of us to understand these truths more clearly, to choose to accept them, not just mental-wise, but heart-wise, to live them, to do them, and please bless our efforts at letting our light shine to others, that they too may be able to escape the darkness and enter into the light of Christ. Please be with us as we part. Help us to have a wonderful remaining Sabbath and a new week ahead, and bring us back together soon in fellowship. And thank you for digging us out of the pit of darkness, of ignorance, and setting our feet on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. So now we'll learn what the seventh commandment is, and the rest of them all the way to 10. And again, they're very simply stated, but there's a lot that they encompass in daily life. Are there any thoughts or comments, questions?
Well, dear ones, this is the ending of our pre-recorded sermon. If they do have any questions or any comments, you can be able to hold it until our dear brother will come back, maybe in a week or so or two. May you have a blessed rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. And this is the after service where everyone can be able to either sing a hymn or a scripture song, or you would like to share, you may be able to do so.
Did I miss my cue, Joan?
Big hugs, everyone. Happy Sabbath.
Hugs, Sister Joan. Happy Sabbath to you. Good to see you.
Happy Sabbath too. Good. Happy Sabbath as well.
Was this the main church service? Man. I'm like, wow. I didn't know it was the main church service. You got to do to keep looking up.
Yeah.
Keep looking up. God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking
Oh.